This is Alex Myers, and coming up on this edition of the Golf Digest podcast, we talk with 23-time gold medal winning swimmer Michael Phelps about his legendary career, his big golf bet, and that time he made the longest ever televised putt. Please have a listen.
All right, I'm at Chelsea Piers in New York City with 23-time gold medal winning swimmer Michael Phelps. Michael, thanks so much for joining us today. All right, you've had a little time to reflect on it. 23 gold medals. When you were growing up as a kid, could you have ever imagined this much success?
I mean, I honestly think back to my career, and it still hasn't fully sunk in. I don't know when, if it will. I think I've been able to kind of run through a couple of the Olympics, and I think I'm just through 2008, and I've been able to kind of comprehend what's happened. So I mean, I think it's, you know, for me, I'm kind of just letting whatever happened sort of take its course, and you know, if I get to a point where I can kind of move through the 2012 games to move to 16, I think it's something I'm looking forward to. But I mean, comprehending it, I can't. I was just a little kid with a dream, and it turned into this. So, you know, it was an absolutely incredible career. It was a fun career. Now we just get to have fun and do some other cool stuff.
What, I know you've said you keep your medals in a secret place, but where do you keep them?
And nobody knows. I mean, there's probably one or two people in the world that know where they are. They never get brought out. I don't look at them. Yeah, it's just, I think it's obviously something I'm very proud of, but I think it's something that, you know, for me is just something that doesn't, like, I don't want that to define who I am. I think that's something that I think a lot of people think of when they think of me. So it's, you know, for me, obviously, like I said, it's a very big accomplishment and something I'm extremely proud of. And now it's kind of seeing where we can go and who else I can help potentially have. You know, a career that is a dream come true, like mine is, like mine was, and you know, be able to push them in ways where they didn't think they'd be able to be pushed.
We throw the term GOAT in sports around too much, but you really are the GOAT in swimming and arguably the Olympics. What is that like to kind of have that reputation as being the greatest at something ever?
I mean, that's what I set out to do. You know, I wanted to be the greatest swimmer really ever, and to be able to have, I guess, people saying GOAT and this and that, it's kind of funny to hear, but it, I mean, I think the biggest thing is it's just like, you know, for me, I was this little kid that just wanted to swim and wanted to be the best, and you know, the opportunities that I had and the experiences that I had led me to where I am today, and it was a very enjoyable ride, crazy at times, and yeah, I mean, I don't know, it was just fun. It was just living the dream, I guess. You know, sometimes you almost have to pinch yourself to see if it's real and see if you're really living life. But it happened, and now I get to see kind of where we go from here.
Now, a year ago, you were training hard for Rio. How much different is your schedule this year? And I hope it includes a lot more golf.
It's probably busier now than what it was when I was competing. Just always being on the road and traveling and doing certain appearances and working on some of the other stuff that we have going on right now. But I mean, I do get the chance to play definitely a lot more golf than I did last year, and you know, I actually have a friendly wager with a friend to try to get down to a 5 in a year. So chipping and putting needs to get a lot of help for that to happen. So, but I think it's kind of fun just setting a goal for myself in the sport. You know, obviously it's a sport that you get to play forever, which is really cool, and you can always be competitive. So. I'd like to be very good for some, you know, I'd like to get down to a scratch at some point, if I can, and I know that's going to be basically me grinding and just hitting a bunch of balls. So when I'm coming back up here and playing Sabonic and Shinnecock next week.
Great.
So just being able to have the opportunity to play more of the, you know, the great courses that we have in our country, and just getting out more. Nicole just picked up the sport, getting a little bit more serious, so. We're having fun. We're enjoying it.
So what is your handicap now, and what's the scouting report 12. Of your game? 12? Okay.
Yeah.
What are your strengths and weaknesses,
I guess? I can hit the ball a mile. Distance is not an issue. I just actually finally started hitting my driver okay. Uh-huh. It used to be a big issue. So, I mean, I think it's really just, I don't have like the three-quarter swings or the half swings. Like, you know, there are times where I have interesting yardages. So I mm-hmm. basically really just try to, I try to really play course management more mm-hmm. than anything else, just to try to get in that rhythm of trying to shoot consistent rounds. I mean, I go out and usually shoot the mid to upper 80s, and it's fine, but it's not what I want.
Mm-hmm. Now, people don't realize this, or a lot of people, but you actually made the longest televised putt ever, 159 feet at the 2012 Dunhill Lynx. Yeah. Take us through that. That was a pretty crazy shot.
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, I was playing with Paul Casey. He was my pro, and he basically just gave me like a semi, like the right line angle, and he was like, I've never seen this putt before. You know, just hit it on this line. And I mean, at that point, I was really just starting the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what it was, it took like 17 seconds yeah. or something to get in. It's unbelievable. Like, it's absurd. Yeah, so I guess I always said, I've been joking recently saying that I wanted to retire with 40 world records.
Uh-huh.
I guess that's one of them. So I guess I do have 40 now. I have 39 in the pool. But yeah, I mean, it was interesting. And honestly, like, we could like reenact it, and I probably wouldn't even come close to
yeah.
it. You know, so it's a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while, uh-huh. and that's kind of a fun record to have. I guess I probably should have just quit the whole sport in general at that time, because I know it's never going to get better.
Speaking of crazy, your diet, at least when you were competing, reported up to 12,000 calories a day or whatever. How much have you had to change that since you're not competing as much?
I mean, I think throughout my career, you know, obviously there was a time in my life where I was trying to cram as much calories into my mm-hmm. system as I could, because we were burning so much, plus I was growing. So, I mean, I probably ate 8,000 to 10,000 really.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably my peak during a day. I mean, but right now it's like, you know, I started thinking later part of my career about, you know, your body basically being a high performance car. So if you want that car to perform at its best, you want to put the best and, you know, the best nutrients, the best calories, everything into your system. So, I mean, I've kind of just sort of cleaned it up a little bit, and I really eat a lot of chicken and fish and try to stay as healthy mm-hmm. as I can in a way. You know, obviously I have some guilty pleasures when it comes to food, but, you know, I mean, it's for me, it's like, I'm spending so much time traveling. I'm spending so much time on the golf course. It's so easy for me, really, to be able to pop a couple bags of Crave in a mm-hmm. bag. And, you know, it's like, I mean, especially for me, I'm somebody who loves spice. So
right.
if you throw the habanero in there, it instantly gets me, you know, gets me pretty pumped and gets me hungry. So it's something that's a light snack that I can travel with that'll give me the nutrients and some good protein that I need. So it's always fun, you know, for me being able to work with Crave, and especially being a huge jerky fan, being able to see the flavors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are so many different flavors that you'd never see in any other brand. So it's something, it's just a quick, easy, healthy snack.
Well, you beat me to the punch on that. I was going to ask you about Crave. We're obviously at a Crave event. You mentioned, I was going to ask you, you can pop it into your golf bag. What else do you like to eat and drink when you're playing golf?
Honestly, it's like, being in Arizona, the only thing you really can drink is water.
Uh-huh.
It gets hot as can be. Yeah, it's dry. It's not humid like here in New York, but it's just something that, you know, we're out there for, I mean, I guess anywhere between 2 hours and 20 minutes to like 4 hours. So, you know, for me, I don't really like getting out of a rhythm in golf. So it's something that's quick and easy. And that's why, like I said, you know, you can throw a bag or two in your golf mm-hmm. bag and munch it through the round and drink some water, staying hydrated. You never really sweat in Arizona, so it's
right.
always trying to make sure you're staying hydrated out there, because it gets hot. Right? I mean, I think we have a couple days next week where we're hitting like 119 already. So
wow.
It's going to be hot.
You hung out a bit with Ricky Fowler in
yep.
Rio. What did you think about golf being added, and did you pick up any tips from those guys when you were over there?
I think it's awesome. You know, obviously you got to give a bunch of props to Ricky, to Patrick, and to Cooch to coming down. You know, just having those guys down there was cool, and I was happy they got to really experience the Olympic Village and really see what the Olympics is all about, and hopefully we have some other guys in the golf world who are interested in joining and who don't back out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from all over the world.
Right.
You know, I think it's the highest form of athletics in the world, and you know, to have the opportunity to represent your country is something that, you know, in golf you get, you know, a couple times throughout your career, you know, with the Ryder Cups and that kind of thing. But it's, you know, at that level, it's once every 4 years, and being able to have golf in the Olympic Games, I think it adds a different little flavor. And I'm excited, you know, for Tokyo to be able to try to check it out a little bit and check out some more sports over there. But getting to know Ricky was fun. I mean, mm-hmm. I met him a couple times, but we chatted a bunch before opening ceremonies when we were all walking, and when they were down at Waste Management talking to him, and I followed him, John Rahm, and Jordan for the first 2 days,
mm-hmm.
just walking with them under the ropes, just seeing sort of what they do. It's always fun. Like, I'm a very visual person, so watching sort of the little things that they do and how good they are, I mean, it's insane. You know, I mean, Ricky pounds the ball. So it's just always watching different, it's always fun watching the different strengths that everybody has.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had the opportunity to play with a couple pros and hopefully we have more in the future.
Mm-hmm. Now, you won 5 more gold medals in Rio, but you also gave the world Phelps face. I'm wondering, have you ever used that on the golf course? Or you probably didn't even know what was going on, obviously.
No, I mean, the Phelps face is like, if you want to piss me off, that's what you're going to get. I basically am pretty well known for giving kind of stink faces. So I wear all of my emotions on my face, so you can kind of tell just sort of what kind of mood I'm in at all times. And that was just obviously in the moment and getting ready for, that was a big race. You know, I wanted that race more than ever, and that was a little extra motivation that Chad gave me in the ready room. And I mean, I knew it was going on. I remember looking up to the right corner and just seeing the two cameras with the red lights on pointing right at me. And I was like, well, let's see how fast this goes viral. And let's see what kind of face I had on.
Just a couple quick ones. Favorite course you've played, favorite course, or course you want to play?
I really liked, I played Pine Valley once. I really like Pine Valley. I want to play Augusta.
Mm.
In Arizona, I love Whisper Rock and mm-hmm. Scottsdale National. Like what Parsons did to National, adding the little, the bad little nine,
uh-huh.
little like par three, nine hole par three course, no shot over like 120 yards. It's a fun game. Just go out with a couple of dudes and just, you know, bet $5 or $10 a hole and, mm-hmm. and just have fun. But I definitely want to play Augusta. I definitely want to play Pebble. I'm playing Banded Dunes this summer.
Great.
Playing Sabonic this week or next week. I mean, there's so many good courses. I think I have a list of the top 100 courses, and I want to play every one. I probably have like 15 to 20 down. So I'm making some progress, and hopefully over the next couple of years, I'll be able to knock it off.
Mm. More fun, swimming laps or going to the driving range?
Going to the course.
Yeah, going to the course. Okay.
No, but it's actually funny, because so who said this to me? I was talking to, oh my gosh, why am I drawing a blank on the name? I was talking to a couple reporters, like TV reporters, and they were talking about, one of them swims, and he replays his shots in his head when he swims, or he then has like a different approach where he visualizes the shot that he has on here he wants to have on every hole. And I started thinking about it, and for me, I'm such a visual person, and especially with visualizing. So it was something that for me, like now, if like whenever I do get in the water, I replay shots from, you know, the previous week's rounds of golf,
mm-hmm.
and try to figure out different ways to improve. So it's kind of cool. It's an interesting way to think, and I think it's helped me a little bit on the course just to relax. I mean, the biggest thing for me is I get into my head too much, and it's, the game's already hard enough,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's, I try to relax as much as I can and remember just a few of the tools that I've been able to learn through the process.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. But I just want to, you're not, this is it. This is the last retirement,
I'm
right?
We're
not breaking any news here today.
No, I'm good. I'm so happy with where things are and, you know, being able to kind of leave the sport on my terms is what I always wanted. You know, I wanted to kind of retire when I said that, you know, I've accomplished what I've wanted to, and I can say that this time around, just going through the ups and the downs through my life and being able to come back and have the chance to win a couple more. You know, obviously I would have liked to win gold in the 100 fly or would have liked to break a world record, but you know, it is what it is, and you know, it was meant to be how I finished, and you know, having the having the chance to win five more and represent your country and be the flag bearer, be the team captain, you know, there's no better ending to the story, and you know, now it's time to start a new chapter.
Well, congrats on your career. Cool. Enjoy retirement in your early 30s. I wish I could do the same. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, no worries. For sure.
Thanks again to Michael for joining us, and thank you for listening. Please subscribe to us on iTunes if you haven't done so already, and check back next week to see who our guest is.